Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Cape Crusader, Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Chris Moses, here to break down the Saturn Effect Alpha issues 1-5 and everything in between. Chris, welcome back to the stream. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me back. You know, am I the most visited guest?
Like, I think you're pretty close. I mean, I want to say you might be taking the championship belt. I might have to make a new image tonight just for Chris Moses.
Let's go. With
that being said, though, last time we had you on, we were talking about Control Z. How'd everything go with that, man?
It went amazing. Control Z came out perfectly. We sent out all these books to people. Here we got issue one. Everyone got them in their inboxes. Some people still need to fill out their survey so that they can get their copies, but otherwise, everyone that was on time has gotten their books, we still have a couple more original pages to send out and some stuff, but for the most part, we're at like 98% completion.
Oh, that's awesome.
On that, so 99.5, basically, just a couple stragglers and odds and ends, but it went really well. It was really awesome. I appreciate you having me on, everybody that showed a lot of love on that campaign, and I appreciate everyone that is joining us on the next one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we had a chance to actually get our copies too, but we're here to talk about the Saturn Effect. So I unfortunately have mine up on the bookshelf. I have my copies though of the Saturn Effect, and holy crap, I mean, this is one heck of a series. Issues 1-4 right here with Helena. Oh man. Let's dive in with the basics, I guess, because we've had the opportunity to learn who you are a handful of times. So, let's dive into the Saturn Effect. What is this series about? You know, kind of let's talk a little bit about the protagonist a little bit. I love it, man. I just got done finishing up issue 4, and holy crap, I can't wait till we get to that. It just, this series blows my mind, man.
I appreciate it. So the Saturn Effect is a sci-fi epic that covers multiple storylines and covers a lot of different point of views. And the Saturn Effect Alpha is one of those point of views and sort of the main driving story that's happening in this overarching story that is the Saturn Effect. Mm-hmm. And in Alpha, we follow two siblings, Alpha and his sister Centauri, as they try and free their home, the Titan colonies, from the Earth Empire. And it's an awesome sci-fi epic that's for, you know, mature fans of Star Wars and The Expanse. I mean, it also has some Inkle vibes. It's got Mandalorian vibes. It's got a lot of vibes of a lot of great sci-fi things in it, and it's definitely a love letter to those sort of heady, outer spacey, bigger stories. So our new issue is issue 5. You show issues 1, 2, 3, and 4,
mm-hmm.
and that's volume 1 that we have collected actually in a singular trade.
I need to get my hands on one still. It looks so gorgeous in that book.
It is a beautiful book. This is one of our, this is the first trade that we ever did. So
how's it feel? To have that in your hand? Yeah.
It feels good. It's a nice little accomplishment. And now I'm just psyched to have the other one, to get the second one, because Alpha 5 is the beginning of volume 2, and it's also the last volume of the Saturn Effect. So we are building up to a big grand old conclusion. The Saturn Effect Alpha 5 is where all of the Saturn Effect essentially collides. So if you've read the original webcomic, that is the first thing that I put out from the Saturn Effect Ajax. Read the Saturn Effect Helena, right? All of these, or if you just read Alpha, all of these different storylines mend or find themselves colliding partially in 4, fully in 5, and we are fully full steam ahead towards our final issue. And this is it. The build up to the end. So that's the Saturn Effect for you. That's the Saturn Effect Alpha. And if anyone finds that interesting, definitely head over to Kickstarter and grab a copy, grab a catch up tier. You won't regret it, because this is an amazing series. This is some of the most fun I've ever had writing. Francesco Mazzoli, Marco D'Alessandro on the art, Reed Hinckley Barnes on the letters. It's really just a beautiful collaboration that we've all put together. And yeah, we follow Alpha, and Alpha's the man. Alpha's our boy, and we really get to see him grow up and, you know, tackle some really big, heady and just like big forces that are larger than him, and the fact that he needs to bring people together and his family and his friends to sort of overcome these larger machinations that maybe seem sort of overwhelming to individuals by themselves.
We got Mama Geekly in chat saying hi. Wow, just love the illustrations. I think I would really like this. Hey, you're in luck because I have the issues right here. You're in the other room watching the kids, so when they go to bed, feel free to check these out. I loved it. Diving into all four of these. This world is so huge. The one thing just off the bat is it feels lived in. It feels like a real like environment, you know. Like, how did you achieve that?
So I think partially what gives it that feeling is that there are all of these really important characters with really developed storylines that are sort of just living their lives and doing these actions. And you sort mm-hmm. of get to see the parts of the world that's important to them in that moment. So it really feels like this is like a real place. And there's also a lot of history, too. There's a lot of things that happened before what we see in Alpha, just like there's a lot of stuff that happens before what we see in Ajax or in Helena, and there's a lot of stuff that happens after. So it really makes it feel like we have different points in time, and even though they're made up, that there's these different eras, yeah. and you're sort of building on itself, and it just gives it all its life and its own character and its own feeling. And it's really just like world building and you know, thinking it through and giving things purpose and meaning in history, and then just like giving it out at the right amount of time. Because if you give yes. everything out too all at once, it all just glazes over and people are like, this isn't, you know, this isn't real. This isn't how you survive in a world or interact in a world. But if you don't get any of that, obviously you're like, what this is, you're like confused at your setting. So it's the perfect drip of world building and lore and history that allow for these places to feel like, oh, maybe this could have happened in some alternate place, or this is a story from some galaxy far away or some reality that's not ours, but like it's a believable story. Like it's a believable world. You believe the history and you almost want to like learn more. You like yeah. want to be a historian for that because you want to know what happened, because what made this happen? Like the causality of things makes it feel really real, because that's how the world works, right?
I really, I love just how intricate everything was too. I mean, when I say this world feels lived in, like, it's like when you enter a town for the first time and you're just looking in awe. Like, I had such a fun time just looking through each panel, and it's all fleshed out with like marketplaces, and all the characters are just like fleshed out as well. I love your protagonist, Alpha's one bad lad. And you know, issue 4, I love how climatic it got right at the end. We were gushing a little bit about that backstage. And it was like the perfect nod to Star Wars at the end. I don't know how much, you know, is spoiler and what's not, but
dude, I think that's just fair game. I think yeah. that's fair game, just because if you see 5, you know. But no, I appreciate that. I love Alpha too. Alpha was one of my favorite protagonists to write. That I have a bunch of different series now, and I've recently had a chance to go back and write some more things that may involve Alpha.
Ooh.
And it was so refreshing, and it was so like, it's always been like my sort of happy place. It sort of is for everyone on the team, like Mazzoli. Like this is where he like gets to like just unleash and just do whatever.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. He's yeah. amazing. And I'm not gonna be like, yo, you need to go in this and change just like this tiny thing. Like no, like I know Mazzoli. I know he has a vision, and he's able to, you know, really capture and recreate what I'm writing on a page on with art, you know, and make it even bigger and grander and crazier, and yeah, so I could never just like stop him from doing that, you know.
And then was he in charge of designing like the spaceship? That thing is just so awesome. I love seeing Alpha just chilling it, strumming the little like the illusionary like instrument. That thing was so cool looking as well.
Yeah, so definitely. He designs everything, right? Like he takes my words and then he crafts it into that. And yeah, it was really awesome to have Alpha just flying out in space, you know, jamming, you know, playing some card games, you know, playing Red Sea Legends.
Yes, which is an actual card game you created, man.
Actual card game that we have. If anyone, you know, maybe you want to sign up sign up on our website, Red Sea Legends, so you don't miss when we finally when that finally goes.
We gotta sit down and make a video sometime. We talk about it, but we gotta be about it sometime.
No, we definitely do. We definitely do. We gotta play some games because it's really fun, and I'm sure you'll end up just like playing with the fam, and then they'll end up just like schooling you and be like, Chris, man, like
you gotta make new cards. I gotta come up with new combinations.
It's like I need to pay to win, dude. Give me the new stuff early, you know.
One of my favorite things about you as a writer is you are able to balance all these subplots like that are underlining under the main plot, and it pays off so well in issue 4. Not only that, but like the emotion within these characters is just raw. I love it. And it was so brutal. I'm trying to tiptoe around it, but like you said it was Zex or Zeke's?
Zex.
Zex. What's Zex beef with Alpha? Zex is one huge dude, and oh my goodness, they just, what's going on? There's a lot of like hate there.
There's a lot of hate there, and I guess you're just gonna have to wait and find out just exactly why he's chasing Alpha so hard. But yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of motivation. All these characters have motivations that
relentless.
Really them. Yeah,
relentless. Everybody.
Relentless, and Zex is like the perfect encapsulation of that. Like his drive is so ferocious that nothing can stop him, essentially, or you know, next to nothing, right? So and yeah, there's a lot of subplots, and I think the subplots really end up when they collide and they make these like smaller or, you know, bigger climactic moments, that becomes it starts to really start to pay off. And I think as the story continues and we get further on and more of these subplots finally start to pay off, because there's a lot of them, right? And when you read the Saturn Effect, you're following a lot of different characters all at once. We're jumping around, we're moving around, and it keeps the story moving and fast, but it also it keeps a lot to keep track of. So but it's worth it when all these moments start to pay off and you're like, okay, yeah, I know why they did this. I remember this from 1 or 2 or 3, and now we're on 4, and now that these, you know, now that Centauri and Bones are finally fighting, or
so
Centauri
cool.
and Glass, now that they're Centauri and Glass are now just fighting, you're like, okay, I get all the context behind it, right? When you see, you know, Alpha fighting Zex in Alpha 4, you remember Alpha and Zex in Alpha 2. So it's all like an accumulation. It's all the callbacks to earlier things, I feel like, give that satisfaction and make it like a fun thing, and it makes like writing all these subplots like worth it.
The last showdown in issue 4 was just so awesome. Like I loved how raw it was, how brutal it was, like how hopeless it was. I mean, you just chef kiss. These fight sequences are just next level. The art's killing it, the writing's killing it, everything in between. Do you ever find struggle keeping this continuity hitting the way it does? I mean, because you're just nailing it, but is it challenging to keep it going like that?
I'm going to say that I feel like Alpha gets better every issue, and then specifically in volume 2, like 5 is amazing, and then 6 is even crazier, then 7 is even crazier, and then 8 is even crazier. And I think the beauty of the Saturn Effect and why it's like this place where Mazzoli and Marco and I can just like go and like be creative is because like we can just do crazy shit, and that's like what makes it awesome. Like every issue we can just keep doing crazy shit, and it's like it makes sense and it's good and it's fun, and it keeps it going, dude. It makes people want to come back for more. And yeah, so it makes it, and then when you're doing it that way, it just makes it easy, right? When something's fun, right, it makes it easy to do, to just be like, to just do it, you know? Like it's fun to write this shit. So it was fun to write 5 after 4. Like it was fun to write 6. And it's like, okay, how can I make this even more fun and more crazy, so that not only that I'm having more fun, that Mazzoli's having more fun, right? Because like Mazzoli loves to be challenged. So it's like, oh, now I have to write something even crazier, because Mazzoli's probably gonna be like, oh, this shit is so easy. 5 was
feed me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this was the it was an easier thing to do this than it was to draw like 1 or 2. It's like, no, this, we have to keep challenging ourselves. And it's just like the constant challenging ourselves is just like how we keep it going and how we keep it moving and how we keep accumulating and making things better. And then also maybe on another tip, I personally think my conclusions, my climaxes are the best part of what I write. And so when we get closer to them, it just gets better and better. That's all I can really say about it.
Like, do you write them? Do you write them first, or is it, do you save that part for last?
Oh, I always save that for last. I don't usually write out of order. I usually write very much in order, just because it's like, it's almost like a reward. Like when you get to the climax, and you get to write it, it's like, okay, I'm finally here. And like, this is the moment that, you know, essentially or at least how I've been outlining, but I think for most people, you know, you really want to start with your climax first, right? Just like at least thinking about it, because that's the moment you're building to. That's the moment that you're trying to like, that's your sort of promising with your story, right? When you're like pitching your idea to people, right? You're pitching this bigger moment in their minds, right? Like when I say Alpha and Centauri are trying to free their home, the Titan colonies, from the Earth Empire, I mean, what you are expecting Alpha and Centauri to do something to free their family and their colonies from the Earth Empire. Like that's what I'm selling you, right? So what that moment is like obviously something that you need to know really early on. So because that's what the whole story is about. That's what you're building to, or not the whole story, but it's like a crucial part of the story. Obviously, there's character motivations and character arcs and et cetera, et cetera. But I usually don't write them first, but I do I do know where we're going, and I do outline them like very close to the beginning of when I'm, you know, fleshing out an idea.
So the beginning of issue 4, I mean, you did a good job of like just laying out, you know, exposition and building the story. And then the end of it was just balls to the wall. What type of mindset did you put yourself in when you were creating the script for that?
When I was writing 4, we had, I believe, just done the Kickstarter for 1 and maybe for 2 as well. I'm not entirely sure of the timeline because it's been a little while now. But when I was writing 4, I knew that it was going to be a longer one and that I wanted to really build to, and I knew it was 4. Like my mindset was like, okay, this is halfway. We're right here in the midpoint. Like this needs to be something big. And we were, I could see that people like were enjoying the series. So I was like, okay, I'm willing to do a longer issue because this is our longest issue so far at 50 pages long for Alpha 4. So like my mindset was like, I know that I'm going to make it longer and we're going to, and just let it be as long as it needs to be. And so since it is such a big climactic just part in like the amount of issues that we have, you know, this is issue 4, like I knew that I wanted it to build and really be big. So I was in the mindset of like, all right, I want people to read this and be like, shit, because this is also like where we're going to end the volume. And I want people to be like, all right, I've read that. Now I need volume 2. I need 5. So I was just in the mindset of like, all right, we're just going to go crazy, have a lot of fun. We've been building to a big moment. So like, let's just do it. And let's do something crazy. I was just like watching The Mandalorian a lot, and I don't know. Obviously, there's the inner Dragon Ball Z fan in me came out a little bit too.
Zach definitely gives off a little bit of Broly energy.
he does give off Broly. He gives off a lot of like sort of that archetype of character, like Broly, Venom, like that big, burly, like really overly like hyper masculine, hyper muscular, like. Bane, like these characters that like people really, especially like the 90s, he's like a very 90s throwback grungy.
Used my likeness for him, thank you.
Yeah, I know, we were like, so I need you, Mazzoli. You know, I know you don't know who Geekly is yet, but there will be a guy in the future,
the blue, you know, it's dead giveaway.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think right now would be a perfect segue, guys. Let's go ahead, pull up the Kickstarter for this and check out all this awesomeness right now. So let's go ahead and segue right over there and get it pulled up. Once again, dude, congratulations on funding. Everyone that is watching, be sure to check this out with us. If you're able to back, we would love to see that. But simply putting this link I'm putting in chat wherever you can is 100% free to do. And you're definitely going to have a friend who loves this because this book is phenomenal. I cannot stress enough how awesome it is. I mean, Chris, you just kill it with sci-fi. Like this and Control Z, you're just a beast with it, man.
I appreciate it. That's just like a genre that I really love. I took a couple classes in college that were really focused on sci-fi, and it's just like it's something that you really can't do in a lot of other mediums, right? Like to make an awesome sci-fi anything, it costs a lot of money, but not really for a comic book. Obviously, comic books cost a lot of money, but you can tell a story in this medium that's really big and really crazy, and it's like actually something that you can do yourself. Like, you can't write a sci-fi epic and expect it to ever be turned into a movie, but you can write a sci-fi epic and this isn't to say to write your sci-fi epic as a movie and then make it into, and then, you know, just make a comic book out of it just to sell it, but it is to say that comic books allow for these kind of stories a lot more, because you can tell these great visual, like, pieces and you know, parts of your story and your these scenes without, like, spending millions upon millions of dollars on CGI and the like.
Mm-hmm. So we are looking at the Saturn Effect Alpha 1 through 5. Alpha returns in the fifth issue of the sci-fi epic for mature fans of Star Wars and The Expanse, currently at $3,980 of a $2,500 goal, 93 backers, and 17 days left to go. So, man, you're doing awesome right now. What, you're inching right towards doubling. How you feeling so far? This is how many Kickstarters for you at this point?
This is number 6. We've done a lot.
Wow, congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. We're heading for 10. I'm hoping to get close to 10 by the end of this year.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good about it. It's a good campaign. This is the best start that we've had to a Saturn Effect campaign. And when you're doing these things, you can only really compare to yourself. And then if you're doing multiple titles, you really should only compare to the last one you did of that title, right? So when in comparison to Alpha Volume 1 that we ran last year, it's doing really awesome. And I appreciate everyone supporting and, you know, backing and getting all these awesome items that we have available. And it's fun. It's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's really awesome to see the people that have been coming back and also getting new people to hop on board and join the Red Sea family, you know?
Absolutely. And everyone that is watching, big shout out to everyone who supported my coffee link. I was able to back this campaign because of you guys, so I really appreciate it. It's always awesome to be able to throw that love back into the community, and because you guys made that happen, I appreciate that. This cover is gorgeous. This is your cover A?
No, so this is our, this is a variant cover
variant.
Andrea Scalmazzi, colors by Marcos Martins. And this is a limited variant, and it's also available as a numbered metal variant as well. So this is an awesome piece. It has you know, all the characters that show up or have shown up, and it's really awesome. You can also, one lucky person can actually get the original of this, the original inks done by Andrea, and it'll come signed straight from Italy as well. So it's just a crazy, crazy piece, and we have a lot of cool pieces that, you know, utilize the art, and and it's limited, and you're not going to really find a lot of, you won't really find this floating around, you know?
I really love just how you have it, like the way it's just constructed, like Alpha right here in the middle, just beaming, and then it just shoots out with the character. It's such an awesome concept.
Yeah, it's so good. Andrea is amazing. Andrea is a genius. He's the golden boy.
And then this is a 5'8", right?
Yeah, that's 5'8".
I love 5'8".
Yeah, 5'8" is awesome. I enjoy 5'8" too. I'm glad you like him. I feel like when we get to see him join the team, and little buddy.
It gave me a little bit of like a BD1 vibe.
Yeah, a little bit. A little R2, you know, this is definitely, the Saturn Effect is definitely a love letter to classic sci-fi like that. So you'll definitely find a little things that may remind you of other, you know, sci-fi classics that you love. But, you know, in a new light, recontextualized and sort of put to work in a different way.
So right here is the cover for Volume 1. You know, in issue 4, there, you know, was an emphasis on this cube. Do we want to talk about that, or is that spoiler territory?
We can talk about the cube. The cube is, yeah, for sure we can talk about the cube.
So, I mean, this cube is insane. The powers that it's capable of, like, what is it?
So, as of now, all we know is that it is the a cube of antimatter.
Ooh.
So, where did it come from? What it's exactly it's capable of? Is to you know, you have to read and find out, but
yeah.
It is a large pivotal piece of the story, and yeah, it's something that a lot of the characters, not just Alpha, you know, other characters like Ashes are very obsessed with. So,
and it's, I mean, whoever's using it, I mean, it could just, you know, it, it, the usage is like unpredictable. 5A was like, whoa, like, what are you doing, Alpha? Like it's right. Like this thing, like, is off the chart. You guys need to check it out, because this thing is, I can only imagine what it's going to do in the next four issues. So you're going to have 8 issues in total for this series?
Correct. So this is 5, and then we have 3 more after this. And then yeah, that's a wrap on the Siren Effect.
So this is a gorgeous cover as well. Is this another variant?
Right. No. So this is the cover A. This is by Francesco Mazzoli. So if you're a purist and you need to get the cover that's done by the interior artist, this is the one for you. It's another awesome piece. All of his covers are great. I feel like it's a perfect addition to the set.
So what do we see going on right here?
I mean, that's our boy Alpha, and that's Ajax. Ajax is a character that was in our webcomic. He was the first Red Sea Comics character in a lot of ways, him and Helena. And he's finally made his way back to the storyline that we're really following mainly. And
that's awesome.
So he is in issue 4, but now he's finally joining the main cast in this issue.
So how's it feel to have like one of your first characters meet one of your favorites?
You know, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. I wrote Ajax first, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment in Ajax where Alpha and Centauri show up. Right. And it's a part we didn't get to in Ajax, but is a part that, you know, eventually got recontextualized and changed around and then, you know, partially turned into issue 5 of Alpha, where Ajax, you know, ends up meeting these two rebels and, you know, the rest of the story continues. So it, and then, that moment happened before I had all the other parts of the Siren Effect Alpha, right? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily know all of what was happening with Alpha and Centauri when they met Ajax the first time when I wrote it. So when I wrote this scene, it was really weird because now it's like almost a completely different Alpha and Centauri that was meeting Ajax than when I had initially wrote it, when Ajax was meeting them mm-hmm. in his version of the story that I had written first. So it's honestly kind of weird and kind of crazy, but it's also really awesome to see just like the growth and like these characters become really like, you know, become really solid and set. And I know when I wrote them the first time, I was like, I knew I loved these guys. And that's why I wrote the spinoff, because I needed to know, how did they get there? Like mm-hmm. what made them like this way when they do meet Ajax?
Yeah. Where does Ajax in the Saturn Effect like storyline fall in comparison to Alpha?
So Ajax's story happens before Alpha.
Like how many years though?
So the exact timeline, right?
He's like, come on, Cody.
No, it's okay. So if you want the exact timeline, the earliest issue starts with Ajax 2. Mm-hmm. Ajax 2 is like the earliest that we've seen in the timeline so far. And then it would be Ajax 3. And then there's a short in this book, Ajax in Alpha 5, that's, Ajax 4. And that takes place after that. And then it would be Helena after Ajax 3, Ajax 4. It would be Helena's, TSC Helena. And then after that, it would be Ajax 1.
Okay.
And then after Ajax 1, it'd be Alpha 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of get it like in my head where the timeline falls. And like I said, you do an outstanding of balancing all these stories in like one huge continuity. Like I think when I get ready to ask my question, it has to be about building a Bible for this, because your Bible, if you have one, has to be just crazy thick.
Yes. And it's definitely, I mean, this was one of the first projects that I worked on. So it's also really messy and it's also all over the place. And it was what it needed to be for me to write this, right? And mm-hmm. it was all a learning process. So now if you look at my Bibles, they're so different, but I didn't know what I needed until I wrote this one and got it mm-hmm. all out. So, and I really started to find the process, and then, you know, it still got refined, you know, Control Z refined it a bunch, you know, other projects that are still to come out that I've written since then, I've refined it even more for the things that are coming out, you know, this summer, that is now like really crazy and is really taking everything to the next level. So
I love this splash page. This is gorgeous.
Yeah, everything
this is gorgeous. Holy crap. Like, and this is what I was saying. Like, this is just like the zoom out just looks so filled in. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like this is like an actual like part of the world you could travel to.
Definitely. Yeah, Mazzoli has like this beautiful eye for perspective and composition, and every splash page that he does or spread page is just crazy.
You reminded me, one of the very first pages, I think is the first page of issue 4, there's just this beautiful look up. It's like you're laying on the street looking up at the people walking over, and it's just the way he was able to craft that perspective was just phenomenal. It was out of this world, really.
Yeah, he's just got this insane director's eye. And the series wouldn't be what it is without him. And so I salute you, Mazzoli. If you are listening, you are the man.
So we see Alpha right here dealing with the repercussions of losing his hand. You know, right here, he trips and falls. He's not even able to catch himself. You know, what was the importance of that hand for anyone who's maybe tuning into the series for the first time? Outside of it just being a limb, right? Like,
I mean, it's his hand, dude. He needed that one. I was lefty. That was his favorite hand. No, I mean, it's a big moment for this character. If you notice between sort of what we see in Alpha 1 or Alpha 5 here and how we have Alpha here, you know, there's a big difference in our boy, right? And so a lot has changed, and him losing his hand there is definitely it's a consequence of a choice that he makes, right? He makes a choice, and it's a reckless choice, and maybe it gets what needs to be done at the moment done, but it's not taking into account everything that he needs to. And so it's a reminder that he needs to be more, you know, think he needs to grow up, right? This is a reminder of like, this is what happens when you are when you continue to think life is just a video game or just an instrument that you're playing, and instead of, you know, or just a car game instead of, you know, real life with real life consequences for what you choose to do.
And right here is just another gorgeous scene. Where are we seeing Alpha and 5-8 go?
So in issue 5, we see them head to where is called the Europa mission. And they are trying to retrieve the final part of the antimatter bomb that they've been putting together. So they head to multiple different spots. They get the antimatter cube in issue 3. They go to Mars and get the schematics in 4. And now in 5, they are here on the Europa mission and have found a computer of some sort that seems beyond comprehension or our human comprehension. That is formulating some sort of equation that is crucial to the next part of this master plan.
I swear, if it's creating the simulation in Control Z, I'm going to scream.
you know, wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't that be crazy indeed? But no, there's an even crazier mystery in Control Z, and it's totally different. But yeah, we have a lot of great pages, and there's still a couple pages, original pages left. A couple of them have already been sold, but there's still, I think, one or two along with the original banner that's still available as well. And we have a bunch of variants. Like you've seen the Scalmazzi. This one is done by Joni Caballero, and this one's limited and exclusive to Kickstarter.
This is gorgeous. So, holy crap.
Yeah, it's so good. And this is of Centauri, and you know, it's very anime, very cool. And this is probably one of my favorite covers as well. I'm honestly I have a hard time choosing my favorite cover on this campaign. And we have the Scalmazzi cover, as I mentioned before, with colors by Marcos Martins. Just this really awesome composition, and Andre is a genius. And if you really love it, make sure to head over.
I love
and see
the
if you question, can grab the
original. Like the exclamation mark too. It like gives it that chibi-ish almost like expression right here.
Definitely, there's just a lot of energy and movement and emotion in this one piece, and it's really awesome to see. And then our next cover is done by Marco Del Forno, who's somebody I've worked with before. We actually had a short called "When I Freeze Hell Over." That was in an anthology that was, you know, it took a long time to get to people, but finally is into people's hands. So hopefully people are able to read that. And so that's something that I wrote a while ago, and I'm curious how people feel about it. But he also did an awesome cover for us and he did it really quickly, and because he's another speed demon, and which is another really cool piece of Alpha Zex and 5-8.
Yeah, I love Zex's eyes glowing right here too. We have sorry if I butcher this pronunciation, Faye Ladonia 3. That variant cover looked like Keva from Megas XLR 2004.
Yes, you know, some people have definitely said that. I posted it on Reddit, and another person said that exact same thing.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
Hey, well, good eye. That's awesome. And then we also have a nice and a not safe for work cover.
Yeah, so this is, we had a not safe for work cover on our Control Z campaign. This is another not safe for work cover that we did with F-Killer art. And F-Killer is awesome. And this is of Fauna. And there's a naughty version and a nice version. And so this is one of they're both Kickstarter exclusives, and they're both going immediately into the Red Sea vault afterwards. So this is this is the only time you're going to be able to get them. And this is how we will always approach not safe for work covers. You'll only be able to get them on the original campaign. So if there's some urgency for you. So if you really like this, definitely head over and grab it. And, you know, just as a little teaser for the future, F-Killer might be on a Red Sea book. We might have a book come from F-Killer. So if you're into this kind of stuff, or if you're into the more mature sort of side, then definitely stay tuned for this August, because we have a crazy, crazy project coming down the pipe.
Ooh, is that a first time announcement on that?
Yeah, we haven't announced, we haven't really announced the name of it. I haven't announced the name. We haven't shown any, but yeah, this is the first announcement of the artist. So, that was a Geekly exclusive.
Let's go. And once again, for everyone that is watching right here, is the link to check out this campaign with us. If you can back, we would love to see that, but simply putting this on your favorite website, favorite platform helps just as much and gets the word out just as far. We, of course, have some awesome add-ons. Dude, this cover is so great of Alpha right here. This is awesome. Is he like scanning through some weapons right here?
So this is Alpha, and this is done by the artist Christian Wolf, who's the artist on TSC Helena, and it's colored by Ilaria Fella. And that's all the different parts of the antimatter bomb.
Mm.
So you can see the equation and the antimatter cube and the actual designs, etc.
Oh, that is gorgeous. I love just how futuristic that, and like how able you guys were able to like combine like futuristic, but like some of the parts that look run down too. It's like a beautiful mesh of the two.
Yeah, we tried to make a unique world. Like people, it definitely has some pieces from a lot of different places. You know, there's some Blade Runner, there's some Total Recall, there's some this, there's some that, there's some Star Wars, but it all ends up feeling like, you know, the Saturn effect.
And it looks like we have an unvaulted as well, some covers right here.
Yes, so singles are going to be very, very rare from, you know, from volume one, right? Generally, I'll only be printing volumes from now on from that. So occasionally, though, there will be a chance for you to get things that are from the Red Sea Vault. And right now, that is the 10 issues were taken out of the vault of each of these. And there's only a few left. So if you want to get a single, you know, if you want to get Alpha 4, then this is sort of the only place you're going to be able to get it, unless you can sort of hunt me down at a con and there's still some left. But this is sort of how we're approaching the single issues. Once the trade is out, it's going to be, you know, we want people to feel like what they've gotten is special, right? Like, I want people that backed Alpha 1, Alpha 2, Alpha 3, Alpha 4 to be like, okay, cool. Like, I did that for a reason, right? And so, you know, as time goes on and these things become more and more rare, and we want run more and more campaigns and add more things to the vault, things will hopefully become more and more exclusive.
You ever like afraid that, you know, while that's, I think that's an awesome move, but are you ever afraid that might like affect your physical catch up tier, like at all, like for future sales?
I think, you know, sometimes we'll bring back the singles, but potentially, possibly. For sure. I think there's, you know, you take a product away, you're not going to be able to sell it. So that's potential, you know, unrealized profits. But I think the, you know, like I said, I want people to feel like they've got special for the campaign. And it's not to say that these things won't ever be printed again. But, you know, these are already limited runs, and so they'll probably continue to stay limited runs.
And it, I mean, if anything, it makes people want to get issue 5 because they know, like, hey, I might not be able to get issue 5 through 6's campaign.
Right, so yeah, you'll probably be able to find 5, 6, you know, while the volume is still taking place. I want people to be able to find these while there's still a chance. But once that volume is out, that's when it'll become a lot more difficult to find.
We have Faye over on YouTube. It says 1 through 5, is that the complete story? So it's going to be an 8-issue series. So right now, 1 through 4 is volume 1, and then 5 is going to be the first issue of the second volume.
Correct.
So let's go ahead and go through some of these tiers as well. So you can get $8 or more, get issue 5 digitally. $20 or more, get the physical copy of issue 5. And then the digital catch-up tier. Holy crap. This is awesome. So you get volume 1 and a digital of issue 5 as well. How many pages is that?
That is... Oh, man. That's like...
I know issue almost 4 was a decent amount of pages. Like,
right. Issue 4 is 50 pages. Volume 1 is over 130 pages long. And then Alpha 5 is 44 pages. So it's the second longest issue that we've had. So you're getting around 180 plus pages of comics, almost 200 for, you know, $20.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. I definitely think it's worth it.
That's a big bang for your buck. We have 25 or more. You can get the Del Forna cover.
Yes, all the variants are a little bit more expensive, but, you know, they're very limited, so.
And then, yeah, I mean, they're all at 25 as well. Awesome price, except for this one, the Calabrino cover. This is at 30. And then you also get the art print with those as well. So I think that's another awesome addition with these, with all the variants.
Everything physical, you get the art prints as well.
And these prints are... They're gorgeous. I mean, I got the prints from Control Z printed on beautiful paper. I mean, dude, outstanding job on them.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We got a great printing job from Comic Compressions. And yeah, I think it's really nice to just be able to, like, give out these cool art prints that, you know, aren't necessarily a full book, but they're cool. And I think people really enjoy them. And if you really like them, you could frame them or you could put them on your wall. And, you know, it's just like an extra, it's something that, like, I feel like adds value to the pledge, because you know they're nice, you know, and they're cool, and they really, and it's cool to see your characters or more characters in the universe fleshed out and drawn by other people.
So we have the Not Safe for Work cover at $30 as well. So awesome price on that. The Red Sea digital comic bundle at 30. So I mean, dude, you have beautiful prices on these digital. I mean, it just seems like you're just slaying the digital market at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we want people to, I feel like digital is, you know, people do read digital, and also I feel like some people, you know, just want to be able to support, and they find a tier that works for them. So I try not, like, I want digital to feel like something that, you know, if you really, like, I don't want it to break the bank with digitals, right? So I want them to feel fair. So
and this is you get Helena Control Z issue 1 and 2, so 3 more comics added on for just $10 more from the catch-up tier. Like, holy crap, man.
Yeah, you definitely get a lot of content. There is one comic missing, though, and that may be because Soma City might be coming back to Kickstarter on its own with a Kickstarter edition in the near future.
Ooh, and then pick 2, so pledge 40 or more, and then pick 2 physical copies. We have the Saturn Effect catch-up physical. So there is a physical. For now, you get issue 1 and then volume 1, or issue 5, excuse me, and volume 1 for $50.
Yep.
And then the metal print at 60. I mean, dude, you have some awesome tiers right here. We have the variant, the Red Sea physical catch-up tier. Man, awesome here. What would you say is some of your favorite, you know, these physical pages right here?
Oh, I really love the physical pages, but I think my favorite might be the metal covers. I think the
metal covers
are really cool. I just think Andrea's cover is, like, one of the coolest covers that I've ever seen in my life. So
yeah. This is awesome.
Just that, like, shiny. I feel like that. So essentially, if it was me, I'd buy the variant bundle. You know, the metal variant bundle. The value is just so nice, and you get really collectible, cool stuff that will look really awesome on your shelves. I've seen some people have been getting their books, people have been posting their shelves, and I see some Control Z, I see some Saturn Effect, and those are some nice looking shelves. So definitely add some more cool shit to it.
And then we have, yeah, man, just awesome tiers right here. The physical page is one of everything at $375. You can get the cover at $575. So the physical for that, that's gorgeous, man. And then that's it. We have J. Michael Miller over on YouTube. Beautiful covers. And then we have Faye just pledged $10. No reward, just supporting the cause. I'll wait until all eight are out and I'll binge it. Hey, that's awesome as well. We appreciate the support. Thank you so much for doing that, Faye. It's always greatly appreciated. So, Chris, for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you say to them to kind of help push them over that fence and get them, get the Saturn effect in their hand?
Get off the goddamn fence. What are you doing?
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Hop off the fence. Buy the book. It's just gas. It's so good. You're missing out. What are you doing?
And Moses is low-key a Fortnite god, so.
I don't know about a Fortnite god, but I can hit some shots. I can 90. So.
Yeah. I see you doing the little Dorito buildings. I'm trying to just like get my shots here and there, and I see Chris building like skyscrapers. I'm like, how's he do it? Yeah, what's his secret?
I'm just a master architect, you know. I'm just building the Taj Mahal over here in Fortnite. No, I'm
kidding. Hey, not only that, but building well fleshed out worlds and environments and characters in the Saturn Effect. You guys are truly missing out if you're not back in this series. Chris, what else is coming for you in 2023? You mentioned maybe a Soma Kickstarter.
Yeah, so we will be having a Soma City Kickstarter edition coming out this year as well. And then we have a new title that will be coming out from Red Sea that we are yet to announce, but very, very soon. Ooh. And I think people will definitely enjoy it. It's somewhere in the supernatural, urban, sort of just, it's just sexy, fun action is what I'll say. It's sexy, fun action. And so I think people will really enjoy it. Think of like a sexy Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
Sexy Scott Pilgrim with demons.
Ooh.
There you go. So that's the hint I'll give for that. And then Control Z3 is coming back as well at the beginning of the fall. So make sure to stay tuned. Follow me. We got a lot of cool shit coming from Red Sea Comics. Red Sea Comics is blowing up. And Red Sea Comics is hopefully here to stay. So let's continue to make this hopefully a pillar of indie comics in the 2020s. And, I appreciate everyone's support, everyone that decides to follow along and help out. It really means a lot, and it really helps, get all these stories out and get all these artists paid what they need to be paid and making really cool shit.
I love it. I love it, man. So... You know the drill. You've been on the show before. And like I said, I mentioned this earlier. I want to scratch your brain about anyone looking to build a Bible for their work for the first time. Would it be a suggestion you would offer them to just kind of get on the right foot with it, when creating it?
So I would say that the Bible is really a time to really have a lot of fun, right? It's a time that you can do a lot of creating and do a lot of productive creating and writing without actually having to write your script, and for a lot of people, that when you open up your screenwriting software, your comic book writing software, you see that blank page and you're like, oh man, it's like paralyzing, right? It's hard to get stuff down and get stuff going, right? A lot of people are perfectionists and they have a hard time, getting out even a little bit because they want it to come out exactly how it needs to be. The Bible, if you take that space out, a rough Bible, at least, maybe not something you show to executives and stuff if you're pitching it, but the thing that you use to actually write your story, if you just let that be rough, you need to know what's going on in there and how it works, but like use it to get all your thoughts out and use it to be creative when you don't necessarily want to write, but you want to do something productive. Like the Bible is perfect for that. It's a perfect way to harness that creative energy and push it into a place that's productive and actually gets stuff done. That's not necessarily as pressure of a situation of the script, even if it is a first draft or a second draft that you shouldn't feel too crazy about either. That's part of the writing process as well. But knowing that when you're writing your Bible, that this is just for you, this is just so that you can be creative, and this is just so you can have fun, and just to think of your Bible as you going to your toy store and you're picking out all the different toys that you're going to play with your imagination time and your fun time when you bring it back to your house after going to Toys R Us, right? this is like the Bible is you picking is the catalog, right? Is you walking down the aisle and like, I want this one because of the cool story I can make with that. And it's just you having fun. And this is you returning back to, you know, when you were a kid and you were just what made you fall in love with storytelling and making comics in the first place. And so that's what I would say. This is use the Bible as a place to take your thoughts, find a little structure with it. And, you know, as you do it more, you'll know exactly how to structure it so that it's actually productive and actually helpful for you. But just to start out, just to do it for the first time, just as I, like I said, with the alpha, it's not going to be, nobody needs to know, be able to read it. Nobody needs to know how it works. Only you need to, you know, just get it out, find a place where you can just put your creative energy. And then when you're finally like, all right, today's the day I'm going to go sit down and write my script, because today is the day I feel like I can deal with the pressure of that empty page or nothing's going to stop me. Now you have this Bible that has all this stuff that you've been thinking about for however long you've been thinking about it in whatever sort of organized way that makes sense to you, right? That you can just look at. And now you don't need to think of, oh, how, where did, what happened in, you know, 2300 in this year, or like, oh, you already thought about that when you were just fucking around a couple weeks ago and you just wanted to, you know, write some stuff. You already thought of all that. And it was pain-free, it was stress-free, and you just had a lot of fun doing it, right? So that's what I would say. Just have fun and just get your thoughts out, and eventually you'll make it into something that is a lot tighter and a lot more useful. But it existing is the as useful as you need it to be.
Absolutely. We have our good friend B-Dub stopping in over on Twitch, saying, stopping in to say hi before I head to bed. Keep it up, Cody. You're killing it. Thank you, B-Dub. Only killing it because of supporters like you guys. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe. We're literally like two subscribers from building this Lego set over here. So make that happen as well.
Subscribe.
Chris, what? I mean, I tell you that I collect action figurines one time. You got to call me out about collecting toys? Come on, man.
Yep. You're collecting toys. You're a grown-ass man. What are you doing?
Okay. So speaking of what we're doing, you know, outside of creating comics, what are you watching? What are you playing? You know, what are you consuming outside of creating?
So, you know, I mean, I watch the typical stuff. I've been watching some Succession, even though Succession isn't as good as people like to think it is. But I watch Succession. We'll save that for a Super Comic Bros stream where we'll slander it. No, I'm kidding. No slander. Obviously been watching The Mandalorian. I've been watching, you know, Barry came back yesterday. I've been watching Barry. Barry's great. When it comes to, you know, sequential art, I mean, I've been reading a lot of manga. Boruto, I'm a Boruto stan now. Boruto 79 was probably one of the craziest plot twists of all writing, you know, and it's
really,
it's crazy plot twist. It's okay. A crazy plot twist. So that's, you know, sort of the stuff. And then playing, you know, games. We've been on that for, you know.
Yeah.
We've been
outside of Fort, though?
Honestly, when I a lot of the time, what's fun for me is writing comics. And this next project that we have coming out this summer has been what's taken up a lot of my fun time. Like, I just been, whenever I want to just do something fun, I just pull this up. Like, I'm deep into this script. Like, we're so many volumes in already. Like,
I mean, there's a reason why you have so much out already, is because you put that work in.
Thanks, man. No, I'm definitely grinding. I definitely do a lot of writing, and it's because, you know, I'm putting in the reps, right? Like, one day I hope to make something that's, you know, stands the test of time, right? But to do that, you have to put in the reps every day, because it takes a lifetime to write something that good, right? So
some more sound advice again. He just keeps dropping these bombs left and right. Everyone, make this dream come true by backing this project today. And once again, if you can't, simply just put it wherever you can. Word of mouth is 100% free. It's time for us to wrap up. Hope you all have a lovely day, but most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.